Well, here's some breaking stories. First of all, in Alaska, volcano Augustine is heating up. An eruption there has pushed now the level of concern color code from orange to red, and that means big eruptions are very, very likely. So we'll continue to monitor that situation because there are some people who live in the greater region of that volcano in Alaska. About a fifth of Americans think federal agents have listened in on their phone calls. Now, this according to a CNN USA Today Gallup poll. 21% of the 1,000 adults who replied to the survey said it was very likely or somewhat likely that their conversations had been wiretapped, while 52% said it was not at all likely. Shortly after 9/11, President Bush authorized the National Security Agency to conduct electronic surveillance of communications, phone calls, emails, and text messages between people inside the United States, including Americans and terrorist suspects overseas, bypassing a secret court set up to provide warrants for such surveillance. The Bush administration has said the program is designed to monitor terrorists, while critics say the spying is illegal and may infringe on the civil liberties of Americans. According to the poll, Americans appear to be split over the legality of the domestic eavesdropping program. About 49% of the respondents said the president had definitely or probably broken the law by authorizing the wiretaps, and 47% said he probably or definitely had not. While a birdshot pellet that hit Harry Withington, the friend of Vice President Dick Cheney, the one that he accidentally shot on Saturday, has apparently migrated to his heart, causing a minor heart attack. Dr. David Blanchard, who's the director of emergency services at the hospital where Withington is, says the 78-year-old suffered a silent heart attack, meaning he did not exhibit any signs of a heart attack, the sweating, shoulder pain, or crushing chest pain, but an EKG showed that he suffered a fibrillation, and they're continuing to monitor that situation. He may have one of the shotgun pellets right there in his heart, and they probably will just keep it there. Saddam Hussein, this is like a circus, told the court during the latest session of his trial on Tuesday that he was on a hunger strike to protest tough stances by the chief judge. The former Iraqi leader shouted his support for Iraqi insurgents, yelling, "Long live the Mujahideen." I simply say that if they're going to keep Saddam Hussein in court, they should just gag him. A passenger on a Delta jet was injured Tuesday when he opened the catering door after his plane landed and he jumped to the tarmac below. The man leaped out of a door on the right side of the Boeing 767 at the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlantic International Airport. He fell about 20 feet to the ground. He was taken to a hospital in fair condition. Flight attendant said he'd been acting strange during the entire flight but did not exhibit any problems until the plane landed. If you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, you want to take a look at Flight. This is not a blimp, but it is a huge airship. Read the story. One day, people will be flying across the country. It'll take 18 hours, but they'll do it in luxury. They'll have restaurants, casinos, luxury staterooms. That's the way they're going to fly. Maximum speed is 174 miles an hour with this monster. 250 passengers can board this thing. When it's done, it's two football fields long. And I wonder if this is what people have been seeing around the country. By the way, Illinois researchers have been looking for Bigfoot in an area called Funk's Grove, but a local zoologist interested in the elusive creature's lore said that he'd be surprised if one is found there. A report last fall by people who said that they saw this large creature in a ditch in rural Shirley attracted a team of researchers from the Searching for Bigfoot Inc. of Menlo Park, California. A professor at Illinois State University said he also heard about the report and talked to people at the time. He said, if there is a Bigfoot, I don't think it's going to be in the central Illinois area. The person out there investigating Bigfoot, by the way, is none other than Tom Biscardi. By the way, the 2006 Darwin Awards given out to the people least evolved among us. I'm going to read the winner. Listen to this one. with his 38 caliber revolver when it failed to fire at his intended victim during a holdup in Long Beach, California. The would-be robber, James Elliott, did something that can only inspire wonder. He peered down the barrel and tried the trigger again. It worked. Unbelievable. Low-fat diets, which so far have been recommended by most dietitians, have now come under the cloud with a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association showing that their effectiveness is not as much as believed to be. Besides thwarting the efforts of dietitians to get their patients to cut back on butter, cheese, fries, and other fat-filled foods, the study also casts all kinds of problems on numerous other studies that went to town about the benefits of low-fat diets, lowering the risk of cardiac diseases, cancers, and a whole sundry of other diseases. So what does this all mean? Well, in a moment, we're going to be talking with an expert, Phoenix Gilman, about this study on Coast to Coast AM. Entrepreneur and author Phoenix Gilman is a leading expert in the field of health and wellness. 28 years of experience from personal trainer, sports nutritionist, to nutritional medical researcher, motivational speaker, and consumer activist. Fed up with misinformation, deceit, marketing scams running rampant within the diet, food, and pharmaceutical industries, she vowed to make a difference, and that's what she's been doing all these years. Hi, Phoenix. How are you?
Well, hello, George. Thank you so much for allowing me to join your show.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Phoenix, and I hope you can shed some light on these confusing studies that continue to come out. You know, one comes out and says, you know, low-fat diets aren't good for you. Now they're good for you. Now they're not good for you. What's going on with all this?
Well, you know, this is, like you just said, this is what has prompted me the last 6 years to go into research. As you stated, I've been in the industry for 28 years. Started as a personal trainer, but the last 6 years I could no longer stand it anymore. I had to basically, I wanted to get in, and I got into research and development, and based on the clinical studies that I was reading and trying to understand why 98% of all diets fail, I came across some extraordinary information. And but I'm also a woman who doesn't believe anything I read, so what I did then is under my company's umbrella, I started developing dietary supplements based on the clinical studies, and it is what I discovered through that process, through not only my own firsthand experience, but probably 50 to 70 clients under my company's umbrella that prompted me to passionately, if not somewhat urgently, write this book to educate the consumer, to make them understand that it is not by eating good, healthy fats, and I'm talking about things like whole eggs, the real butter, fresh cheeses. Those are good, healthy fats for the body. The body needs those fats to replenish.
Just don't overdo it, right?
Exactly. But the thing is, when I say good, healthy fats, I'm not talking about your chocolate cake and, you know, fried foods and french fries like that. But good, healthy fats, as I said, real butter, cheese, eggs, avocados, olive oil, those are all wonderful, healthy fats the body needs to replenish. But the problem is, the low fat and the low fat, no fat, you know, basically
craze
scam that they perpetuated on us for the last 30 years has just absolutely fueled our rate of obesity. But it's also, as everyone knows, it's also fueled type 2 diabetes, depression, ADD. All of those things are tied into so much of the that issue. And basically what I have discovered and what I bring forth, which is, you know, with such great passion, is to first empower people by saying, look, 98% of all diets fail. That is a given. We just have to look around to see what has happened with society. And I don't think it took an 8-year study and $450 million to realize that the low fat was not a healthy way to go. But what I've discovered is that the reason 98% of all diets fail is due to a very precise but very major neurotransmitter. That is a brain chemical. And when that brain chemical is depleted, which everything in life depletes it, from stress, lack of quality sleep. Who doesn't have those two things right there?
Sure. Does age deplete it also?
Not age doesn't, but everything else does. Pharmaceutical drugs is a huge issue. Over-the-counter meds, artificial sweeteners, the poor diet, lack of exercise, you name it, it depletes it. So what happens is when that brain chemical is depleted, on a subconscious level, your brain will start to force you for the foods and or beverages that will elevate it. Now, the metabolic pathway, unfortunately, to elevate this brain chemical, which is called serotonin, the metabolic pathway, for it to be elevated, it has to first trigger insulin. And therein lies the key, because insulin is the hormone that commands the body to store fat. So what happens then is when you ingest these foods, on a, again, your brain is pushing you towards these things on a subconscious level to, it wants to, two things. It wants to elevate this major neurotransmitter because as such, the brain knows that it needs to maintain it because it needs to be able to have the body and the brain function properly, that brain chemical needs to be elevated and it, the brain will do basically anything. And on the other hand, it also, the foods that will break down quickest into blood sugar to feed the brain are high GI carbs, processed carbs, and processed foods.
Now, Fing, this study was conducted by the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. They,
yes.
They studied the health and habits of 50,000 women,
yes,
over a period of 8 years.
Yes.
I mean, this was a big study.
Sure.
Divided them into two groups, one that ate low-fat diets that were rich in fruits and vegetables, the other just simply stuck to their usual diet. And the first and most important finding, they said, was that most women found it difficult to stick to the so-called 20% ceiling of the intake of dietary fats.
Yes.
Why was that? Why was it so difficult for them?
Well, first of all, if people would really, I tell my clients all the time, if you really pay attention to your body and tune into it, your body will tell you all day long what it needs. And your body needs, as I said, your body needs good, healthy fat to replenish those neurotransmitters so the rest of your body can work effectively, your mind and body. And so I know that has a huge part in it. And also, you know, the whole the ADD and the depression, all those things are also linked. You know, that's all we hear about lately on CNN the other day. They had the story about the meds that all these young children are being treated with ADD.
Sure.
When nobody is out there talking about that it is directly related to their diet. Absolutely.
Too
directly.
Much sugar?
Absolutely, because a poor diet in itself depletes that brain chemical. And when it's depleted, as I said, it causes all kinds of things. Anything from me developing, you know, when I got into it was, you know, weight loss products, so to speak. But it was that brain chemical controls the two main reasons why diets fail, and that is carbohydrate cravings and satiety, overall appetite.
Well, this particular low-fat study that they conducted, I don't think, because I can't see anything here, where they got into cholesterol at all. How important is that?
Well, here, that's another great scam on the American, between that and a few other things that I won't mention. But the cholesterol, the thing is, when you need to eat good cholesterol, and good dietary cholesterol comes in the food such as the good sources of fat, and that is in your eggs and in your cheeses and in seafood and things like that. But that whole scare was perpetuated 20-some years ago by the cereal industry. And you actually, as I said, you need to eat cholesterol, good healthy cholesterol. Your body needs it. Or if you do not eat it, your body will make it out of the carbohydrates you eat. What causes heart disease and stroke and all of that, that is not from cholesterol. As I said, your body needs it. It actually comes from things that trigger insulin. Insulin is what causes plaquing of the arteries, and that comes right back to the cycle of controlling, maintaining that brain chemical so you stabilize your insulin level, and that is that serotonin-insulin connection that my book is basically all about.
What's the name of your book?
It's called Diet Failure, The Naked Truth.
Okay.
But that link, that serotonin-insulin connection is what's tied into not only obesity, but also overcoming depression, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and ADD, and many other
things.
Well,
what do you recommend people simply do? What should they just do? You know, let's assume none of these studies work, everything's wrong, these diets are all wrong. What should people just do?
Okay, here's what they need to do. First of all, and I recommend They're dietary supplements that you can go in into any health food store. The first and foremost thing is because, as I said, everything in life depletes this brain chemical. The first and foremost thing is you need to maintain that brain chemical, and it's not by pharmaceutical drugs. You can get it through, as I said, a dietary supplement, and that supplement, the number one that I recommend, is called 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan. That is the first thing. And I tell my clients, if there was only one supplement I could take in my entire life, that would be it, because that's going to maintain that major neurotransmitter, and it's going to help my mind and my body work as effectively as possible.
Now, is this in the multiple vitamins that you might get somewhere?
You could find it in almost any health food store.
But, I mean, is it included in a multiple?
No, it's not.
It is not. You'd have to get it separately.
Yes, you have to get it separately.
Okay.
And after that, I would, of course, this is what I talk about in my book. There's so many different things. People have been lied to for so long about, I feel so sorry for the consumer because they don't know what to eat anymore. As you said in the first part of this interview was, you know, first we were told not to eat fat, then it's, okay, some fats are good, and then it's low carb, and then it's net carb, and quite frankly, we're lied to for so long, nobody knows what to eat.
And what was this thing called again, this supplement?
5-HTP.
5-HTP. I like writing these things down.
No, it's absolutely the most crucial supplement that somebody could take. Mm-hmm. And for all the people...
We don't hear a lot about this, Phoenix.
You don't?
No.
No, but this is why I swear to it, this is why I spent 2 years of my life to write about this, to bring this information to the masses. I said, if this information was brought forth like they promote any blockbuster movie, this information, and not because it's just my book, it's about information that needs to be brought forth to the masses because it directly affects every aspect that I told you, from obesity, depression, ADD, the pharmaceutical drugs that these, you know, that are being pushed onto young children through teens, adults, were just being drugged, you know, not only ineffectively, but they're causing death and so much more illness and disease in the body, when in fact it's so completely unnecessary.
And how about moderation, a little exercise, and just be smart and wise about what you eat?
Absolutely. And, you know, I tell my clients, I said, look, life is not about living like a monk. It is about enjoying things, but it is understanding how and why. The biggest thing is understanding how and why your brain, because we've conditioned our brain through a lifetime of habits, why we're drawn for the foods and or beverages that make our body store fat and cause all these other illnesses. So once you understand that, then yes, it comes down to, you know, again, yes, you can enjoy a glass of wine. Yes, you can have a piece of cake once in a while, but it's understanding, is it a craving or is it simply just a desire and then you move on?
Well, that's a big point. Now, your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, where people can get a lot of information on some of the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And your biggest pet peeve, then, about all this is what?
My biggest pet peeve would be that I feel that we've all been lied to. And as I told the producer, your producer earlier on today, I said, you know, the only way the food industry stays in business is to sell their food. And the only way they sell it is to get us addicted to it. And the only way they get us addicted is by adding sugar. That is the most addictive property in any food. And they hide it under numerous names. And that has been the leading cause of our alarming obesity rate. And to me, to educate the consumer, to help them understand, you know, what foods they need to eat, what food, you know, what things to avoid, how to read a nutritional panel, all those things come through in education. And to me, that was why I spent, as I said, 2 years to write my book, because education is knowledge is power. And that's what consumers need to know. And again, I named it The Naked Truth because I am a woman who has always sought the truth and will do whatever I can to help other people understand this amazing information.
All right. Well, Phoenix, great. And I'm glad that you're able to bring that to the forefront here. And her website is located at coasttocoastam.com. And just remember 5-HTP. I'm going to check into that for myself. It never hurts. So we've got open lines for you when we come right back. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open for you right now at 818-501-4109. Lots going on this planet. Let's talk about it. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment. Well, in case you missed my announcement yesterday, I've decided not to interview the devil channeler. A couple reasons for that. Of course, so many people have advised me not to. I'm talking about thousands of you. And also the fact that he does not want a priest around, and I was going to have a priest there for safety purposes. So I've decided not to do the interview. However, I will allow him to make a statement. I will not be with him when he makes that statement, and then we'll play it for you probably in a week or so, okay? And don't forget, on Friday night, I will be playing an interview that I conducted yesterday with a fellow by the name of Larry Haber. He's the attorney representing the family of apparent time traveler John Teeter. And the mother of John Teeter was also part of the interview. She did not want to go through the phone. But she did answer questions that the attorney passed on from me to him to her. And it's pretty interesting stuff. I'll tell you, very fascinating. So that'll be Friday. We'll play that right here on Coast to Coast. Let's go to the phones west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Napa, Idaho.
Well, welcome to the program.
Yes, I just lost my dog, Sally, and she was 16 years old. I had to take her in yesterday and have her put down. And I spent 3 hours with her. They gave her some pain meds, and I put her down, and she was gone within 15 seconds, and it was really sad.
It's very traumatic. I know I've lost a couple Labradors that same way when they got up in age.
Yeah, she went real quick. She had cancer, and she went within a week. And I want to thank the people at the Idaho Humane Society in Boise for helping me out. They're real nice people. They're really sweet. And the vets there cried when she passed, too, so they're very compassionate. And I also lost my mother November 5th. I've been sending you guys, you and Art, both emails and fast blasts trying to get prayers sent for Sally, but she just didn't make it. I guess it was her time.
Well, no, what we do is, I'll tell you what we do, because we get so many requests for people who want prayer. What I do, when I get those emails, and I did get yours, I have what is called in my office just a prayer list. I let people take it upon themselves every Friday, and a lot of Coast listeners know this. They just, in their own moment of time, say a prayer or do what they do. And so she was on that.
Yes, the grief thing, I've been told it lasts a lifetime, I guess, but I've been having a lot of trouble the last 3 months because I lost my mother November 5th.
Oh, and now you're pets. I mean, you've got a lot to face. Stay strong.
And we used to play on the beach. You know where Santa Cruz is?
Yeah.
We used to play on the beach near KSCO AM 1080 right at the radio towers there, and she ran there for like 16 years down there, so she had a good time.
You believe in an animal going to the hereafter?
I sure hope so. I was kind of disillusioned that there was no God and no afterlife, but I'm still open to that possibility.
Well, I think open up yourself a little bit. You realize that there's something else there, far greater than we are. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Calling from Byron Center, Michigan.
Sure. Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to call. I've been listening a couple of months now, mostly at the radio. I work third shift at a gas station, and it's kind of a one-horse town out here, and when you guys talk about Bigfoot and UFOs and stuff, every time I take out the trash, I kind of think around the corner Bigfoot's going to be eating out the garbage or something.
Because the third shift, what hours are those, Tom?
I work 10 to 6 Eastern time.
Okay, so prime coast-to-coast time.
Yeah.
And now, also, let me ask you, are you like in one of those, are you behind a plexiglass window or something?
No. It's quite open. It has a little convenience store in it, and I'm just behind the counter.
Oh, yeah. See, I always used to think those 24/7 places, if somebody wanted, like, potato chips or something, you just kind of slid them to him, and and that was it. So people can come in.
Well, it depends on who it is.
Yeah. Have you ever had any tense situations?
Yeah, one time a lady was running across the parking lot crying. She was all dressed up. She had some altercation at a party or something. And some guy was drunk one time. He almost hit the building with his big truck.
Oh, gosh.
Kind of hillbilly country out here.
You see it all, don't you?
Yeah, and I walk home because I don't have a car. And so walking home at 6 in the morning, I kind of think one time a UFO might appear right in front of me and just take me out somewhere.
Well, and maybe give you a lift, huh?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Tom. Appreciate you being on the program. International Line, where are you? You're on Coast to Coast.
I'm Toronto, Ontario.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Name's Oliver. Great Oliver. Show, first of all. I listened to it for 3 years, pretty much every night. Just to get to my point here, calling about the whole phenomenon about the number 22. I don't know if you know yourself about it, but for, I guess, several years now, it's been a big part of just being around and just being there. The first thing that that I notice is the time. I don't know if it's some sort of subliminal thing, but it seems that very, very often when I look at the clock, whatever hour it is, it'll be 22.
See, I see 11 all the time. Funny that you see 22. It's just double that.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. That's great. Another thing is, just recently I was in a clothes store, and I noticed that all of the, a lot of the shirts, almost as a logo, it had 22 on it.
You can't get away from it, Oliver.
Can't get away. Now, here's another one. There's a commercial on one of my television stations right now. It's for a company called Fido. And there's a very quick flash. The whole spiel is that they're interviewing all these different news channels. There's a huge dog, you know, running around the city.
Yeah.
And the one news channel is Channel 22, and the reporter is saying that coast to coast, this dog is running around.
That's weird.
I know, man.
That is weird. Okay, thanks, Oliver. Appreciate you being on the program. Synchronicity, that's what it's all about. Wildcard Line, you are on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Bill.
Hi, Bill. Where are you?
I'm in Chicago. I'm at work right now, but if you hear a radio go off, that's my radio. I'm on patrol on the west side of Chicago, Illinois Medical District.
Doing some security tonight, are you?
Well, actually, okay. We're the police over here for the Illinois Medical District.
Ah, okay.
And I'm also a minister. And I wanted to tell you, 2 weeks before the war in Iraq, I had to meet with a couple of federal agents for investigation. I used to be a federal protection officer right before I had to deal with some ministerial things.
Okay.
After our meeting, I asked the two agents, one of them and his supervisor, I said, could I show them something? I opened my briefcase up, pulled my Bible out. I went to Jeremiah 50 and 51. When I finished explaining and breaking down this book that was written 4,000 years ago, they closed their door and asked me would I pray for them and their family. Because when I explained that when Jeremiah the prophet had this vision, Babylon, before Iraq was called Iraq, it was called Babylon.
That's right.
And it says that God will set up a standard and raise up a nation out of the north to come against it, and he will expose or publish this standard.
Oh, you're breaking up. Go back to where you were and don't move.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
And he said that he will cause two nations to establish themselves against Babylon. That's Britain and United States. That's what they've called North American continents, and it said their arrows shall be like a mighty expert marksman. None shall miss their mark or return in vain. Well, when he saw those laser-guided missiles, the only way he could describe it, since he didn't have a vocabulary 21st century, he said they were the arrows of an expert marksman. And it said that they shall make their land desolate. It said the noise of the taking of Babylon, the noise will move the earth, and the cry of the people will be heard among the nations of the earth.
So this is the beginning of what, then?
Well, this was the beginning of the trial and tribulation, because when you go into the book of Ezekiel, and it tells you that Magog and Gog, which is really the name for Russia, will try to invade Israel at a later date and time, which is not too far from now. It says that Russia will get turned back and enlist the help of the kings of the east. The kings of the east are China.
Well, see, I know, and let me tell you, you are not the first to believe that we're right in the middle of end times. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons we're bringing in our guest next hour in the program, Stephen Harefield. He is an expert in Armageddon, and I just want to bring a different view. He's never been on Coast to Coast before. I want to get his perspective on this, and you are absolutely right. I mean, the signs are all there. Now, the problem is have we always had signs? Every civilization has felt that they were in end times, all of them. And are we any different? That's the big question mark. Thanks for the call. Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Yeah, Paul from SeaTac.
Hi, Paul. What's going on there?
I want to jump back, if I could, to your interview yesterday with David Darling.
Yes.
you were both patting each other on the back that you believed in reincarnation. And
I wouldn't call it patting each other on the back. We just agree.
In a way. There is, after I make my comment, I'd like your foundation.
Want me to pat you on the back?
Hmm?
You'd want me to pat you on the back?
No.
All right, go ahead.
But I'm curious where you have your foundation. Well, I'm going to refer to something in the Bible.
Well, I don't want to refer to the Bible because that'll turn this into the Bible hour. Everybody's
All right. But you were both talking about God, and David especially, about God and the way he was describing God with a little g, as if God would be limited. If there is a God at all, God, by self-definition, can do anything he wants anytime except contradict his own nature. And God could be resident, sole resident of all creation, all power, all omnipotent. I'm struggling with that
word. Well, that's okay, but what's your point?
Well, my point is that he said for somebody to say that when you get back to the first cause and you say God is supernatural, therefore that's a cop-out. It's absolutely contradictory to the self-definition of God.
Well, don't forget, though, he's a scientist and a good one, and for him even to consider the possibilities that there's a divine creator is pretty darn good.
Well, that's wonderful, but I mean his logic was tragically flawed there.
Well, see, I don't think anybody can make that determination of whether it's right or wrong, because these are belief systems. I mean, we can't say that your belief is any better than his, or his is any better than mine.
Please, George, this is a logical discussion. And the logic of his statement is flawed. If there is a God, God doesn't have limits, and he doesn't need a cause to cause him. He is the originator.
Well, yeah, but I didn't hear him say he had limits.
Well, he did. He said if it's a cop-out to go back and make a statement that God is the first cause, because he said... who caused God? What was the first cause of God? That's a cop-out. That's logically inconsistent. Either if he believes in God, not a little God, not the gods on Mount Olympus with flaws and human traits, either God exists, all-powerful, or God doesn't.
Well, I think he believes he does exist, but he's got some qualifications in there. As far as the reincarnation... we'll talk about that at another time because we're almost out of time. Let's go back to some more calls. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello,
it's your turn. Where are you?
Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I thought I was on the first-time caller line.
You have somehow slipped over to the wild card line.
That happens, huh?
It does all kinds of things.
Well, my name is Steve. I'm calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I am a first-time caller. My question for you tonight is, have you ever heard of anyone actually remembering before they were born and remembering entering their body for the first time? Because I do, and I'd like to share my first memory.
Now, that's pretty good, because the only time I remember, I was a year and a half. That's as far back as I can go. So you go way back.
Oh, yeah. I have a very good memory, actually. I remember everything. But as far as my first memory goes, I remember hovering above my mother being pregnant with me in a movie theater, and this is an actual movie theater that existed. It had mirrors on the walls and the ceiling on the hallway, and it has an interesting analogy there with the mirrors and the fact that it's in a movie theater and why I would choose to remember that. I'm sure you can figure out
what was the movie you were watching.
Oh, I don't remember.
See? You don't remember that.
No, my next memory was almost 3 years later. Instantly, I was 3 years later. And I didn't enter this body until, like, the day before my third birthday.
You didn't? What do you mean? Are you saying that you as a little boy, let's say 3 years old,
yeah,
didn't have this spirit or astral body connected to it?
I have a theory about that. I think that, children at a very young age, I believe that they're God. Until a certain point.
Interesting.
The reason you start to remember things, you start to remember when you start talking. More importantly, when you start talking to yourself.
Well, your memory, I was going to open up a hotline one day for people to go back with the farthest recollection of their life. And I'm not sure anybody's going to go back any farther than you when you were in the baby embryonic stage. But that would be an interesting open line hotline, I'll tell you that. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Oh, hello, George. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Great. Great. This is Rodney from Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay, I have a some real hot information. I heard on this cryptozoology website that Mokele Mbembe was sighted by an expedition somewhere, I don't know, in Africa.
There could have been one in Malaysia also.
Oh, true. That's Bigfoot sightings.
We don't know because they haven't found it yet.
Oh, that's true. You need to get in contact with Lauren Coleman about this. This is...
When did this happen?
Okay, this, last month.
Oh, I just had him on a week ago.
Next time you have him on, ask him about that.
So he didn't say there was anything new.
Oh, I know. I mean, it was sighted, but, you know, it's kind of like, we see him. Oh, he's gone, you know.
Okay,
we'll
do that, and we'll go to his website, too. He always updates it, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing hot on the trail here. The only thing hot going on is in Illinois, where they think Bigfoot's running around, and good old Tom Biscardi's going down there to see if he can find it. Let's go next to our final wild card line. It'll be the last call of the night. Hi there.
Yes, out of WoWo and nearby Fort Wayne. And
sure.
Joel and Mr. George, nice pleasure to talk with you. Switching up to oil or the war or politics, I've always been baffled or confused as to why more rail discussion isn't a topic. When you talk about poor gas mileage, you talk about the overusage and vehicles and lack of road repair. Let's get on board, and it all ties in again with politics and the war. One subsidized rail company, be it Amtrak, and if I would need to go to near where I'm at, Fort Wayne, to Chicago, Indianapolis, or out of state, you know, it's crazy to get on one non-competitive. What other companies out there don't have any competition other than a rail line?
As you know, they used to have a lot of rail lines. Not anymore.
It's old. It gets old. And again, the war with Iraq, if you saw in the Parade magazine, I'll be quick. There is a couple Sundays ago, an insert in Parade insert talking about the 20 worst dictators. And if Saddam, which I agree was so bad, you know, who's second or third on the list that's not getting any airtime? 40, 50 times a day I'm hearing Iraq, Iraq, Iraq. If we're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts, let's get some compassion in the world. Let's get some solidarity.